Welcome to the Tech Hire Participant Voices podcast series. As part of the Department of Labor Tech Hire Partnership Grant, 39 community colleges, workforce development boards, and nonprofits from across the country spent the last 4 years developing tech-focused training programs geared toward individuals with barriers to employment, including youth, returning citizens, and individuals with disabilities. In this 5-part podcast series, Tech Hire participants and alumni share their experiences with Tech Hire and insights into what makes a quality workforce training program.
I'm Krista Ford, and I'm here with my colleague, Lee D'Amica. We're both JFF staffers and Tech Hire technical assistance team members. Today, we're speaking with Chris from Everett Community College. Everett Community College's Tech Hire program, the MECAWA Partnership Project, provides a competency-based career pathway to award Tech Hire participants with a Mechatronics Associate of Technical Arts degree in order to jumpstart their career in local IT and aerospace industries. So Chris, welcome. Thank you so much for making the time. We're really glad to be speaking with you today. Could you maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Tech Hire program?
Hi, my name is Chris. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so glad to be part of this podcast. It was back in high school when I got introduced to EBCC's mechatronics program. It was a long time coming. And it just really interested me because it gave me an opportunity to just go from school right into a career. And so, yeah, that's kind of how the transition went in from high school. And then I just went full, you know, nosedive into it.
Excellent. And so where are you now in your Tech Hire journey? Are you still working through curriculum or have you completed?
No, actually, I finished last year. This next year in March, I'll have made 2 years at the company that I actually interned at.
That's awesome. And what did you study in your Tech Hire program?
I studied a program called Mechatronics. I don't believe it's unique to Washington, but everyone I tell about the program, they're like, Mecha what? Just because, you know, it's fairly new.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. And so tell me a little bit about what you were able to accomplish during your time in your Tech Hire program.
Oh, well, a couple of notable accomplishments that I really am proud of was I managed to get 3 internships while in the program. I got one right off the bat, like, you know, my first quarter into college, and then the following year, and then the last year before I finished. And that's where I ended up getting hired.
That's awesome. I'm going to pass it to you, Lee, to talk a little bit about recruitment and the recruitment process.
Awesome. Chris, I know you mentioned sounds like you heard about Tech Hire and this mechatronics program through your time with EBCC. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us a little bit about the enrollment process in terms of getting involved with mechatronics through Tech Hire and like the ATA program? And what was that process like? Was it mostly in person or, you know, at the time, was it also virtual? And give us a picture of what that looked like.
Well, originally, I was only going to go in for a certificate. But a lovely lady by the name of Leslie, she kind of was like, you know what, you have more potential than that. You're going for an associate's. And so she, you know, put it all on me. And that was probably the best decision that she made for me. But that's kind of how I got enrolled and brought into it. You know, she walked me through all of it. So it was mostly in person. A couple of things that I had to do online, but yeah, it was all in person and it was really, really awesome.
Yeah. It sounds like having supportive staff to walk through the enrollment process really helped.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Is that something, you know, you would recommend to other workforce training programs when thinking about enrollment? You know, there are other training programs where enrollment might be pretty quick or maybe not as intensive or customized. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I went in there right out of high school and I had no idea what I wanted. And if it wasn't for her, just, you know, her taking an interest in my story and listening to me and really wanting the best for me, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I really think support is absolutely necessary for success.
That's awesome. In thinking about, you know, how workforce training programs similar to Tech Hire can do a better job reaching younger individuals, folks who are in high school or about to graduate, what do you think are good or effective recruitment practices? I know that you heard about Tech Hire through another program you were involved with, but do you have any thoughts on, you know, what you might recommend to other recruiters out there who are looking to change up how they reach younger folks?
Oh, for sure. I was actually a part of another, it was kind of like bringing high school kids into the college and giving them a little field trip. And they brought me in as a speaker because I had finished and they wanted me to give my 2 cents on it. And I thought that was amazing because these kids came in, you know, still in high school, 11, you know, 12th graders, and they were asking questions and really getting the real side of it, you know, not this kind of like, oh, it's so cool. No, like here's a student who graduated and, you know, he did exceptionally well. And I got to make a couple jokes in there too, which was super fun because that connects me to them, you know, so then we're not so distant. Yeah. So really field trips like that is exceptional. That's how I actually got into mechatronics, was through a field trip.
That's great. All right, Krista, I'll kick it back to you.
So it sounds like the enrollment process was mostly in person, which makes me wonder a little bit about the actual training and the courses you took. Were they also mostly in person or online, or was there a mix? And I also recognize that may have changed, you know, as you went through the program, kind of due to the current situation.
Yeah, I was in the program 3 years ago. So it was before, you know, COVID hit. The majority of it was in person. Some of like the classes that were engineering tech based or more programming were done virtually, but a lot of it was like in person and in class, in a lab, working with these really neat kits that EBCC has that we got to, you know, experiment on.
Nice. Yeah. And so besides getting to be like hands-on with the equipment, would you say there were significant advantages to taking your classes in person, or did you actually find it easier to complete the online classes?
I've always been a hands-on learner. So, you know, getting into the classroom, having people that I can like bounce ideas off, like, hey, is this right? Does this work? That made it work really well for me, especially in the labs when you need to get your hands on the machines, or, you know, get your hands dirty in order for you to understand those concepts really well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so for training providers who are kind of operating currently and navigating these current circumstances, do you have any advice for how to make virtual learning a little bit more engaging or a smoother process for other participants or learners who might prefer in-person learning and do a little bit better in that environment, kind of, you know, similarly to how you operate?
Well, if meeting in person is not an option, I definitely think kind of working with a presentation that shows in 3D, you know, what you're going to be working with, you know, giving different perspectives on it, taking it apart, putting it back together, because people like me learn like that, you know, we learn by taking things apart, seeing what works, putting it back together. So stuff like that, where it's not 2D, it's 3D, would definitely be in people's advantage.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm kind of curious whether other things about the actual like training itself, that training component of the program that you feel were really critical to your success, or that you would recommend that other training providers replicate in their job training programs?
Oh yeah. Number one was just the incredible support I got from everyone at EBCC. I remember I'd be up at night doing homework and I would email my professor with like this super complicated question to me at the time, right? And I'd be like, professor, what does this mean? And he would get back to me as soon as possible. And then the following day, he would take me aside if there's time extra and he would go over it, you know, in person and take the things apart with me or give me a real in-depth breakdown on it. So just that support was really no joke. Like it definitely helped. I definitely think having an environment where people can ask those questions and not be afraid would also help out a lot, because I was also a shy kid in the class. So it was kind of nervous to bring up like, this question, because I felt like it was a dumb question.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And it also makes me wonder about kind of the flip side of that. Were there any characteristics of the classes or the training that made it a little bit difficult for you, or that you maybe wish had been different?
That's a good question. A lot of the classes were really fast paced, which I enjoyed. I thrived on that because I remember one of my engineering tech class, my professor was like, we have 3 hours. Every minute is accounted for. We're going to be here at this minute. And if you're not there, catch up. So I really enjoyed that. I know some people don't, but I enjoyed the fast pace and, like, you know, them throwing challenges at me.
I kind of want to go back to this idea of virtual learning, just because that's kind of the moment that we're in.
Yeah.
You talked about 3D simulations and how helpful that is. And I'm wondering if there's anything else that comes to mind that educators should be mindful of during this time of virtual learning, or any advice for students of virtual learning.
That's a good question. For professors, I think not so much like what they could do in the classroom, but what they could do to support their students, because a lot of the times it's really stressful, you know, like you aren't able to get into the class, so it really starts to weigh on you. So a little bit of patience on the student side, and then for the students to really get out there and try to do their best to replicate what they should be doing in the classroom and in their own homes, like even if it's, you know, with paper mache or something. I remember there was actually a lot of virtual reality integrated into with a little conversation we had with the high school kids. Like they had a virtual reality welding kit that you could, you know, weld in virtual reality, which was super neat. And the kids loved it. So stuff like that, to get involved in that, that would be super cool.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. So it sounds kind of like your key pieces of advice here are a little bit of patience, a lot of creativity, and a whole lot of support.
Yeah, 100%.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass it back to you, Lee, to talk about student supports.
That's actually such a wonderful transition. We wanted to talk a little bit about student support because it's such an integral part of a lot of workforce training programs, but in particular, Tech Hire. And Chris, we'd love to know from you, and you kind of touched on this a little bit in talking about how supportive your professors were in helping you think through complicated problems or questions related to your training. Were there any pieces of the Tech Hire program related to student support that you found really helpful in particular? You know, it could be academic support or coaching and advising, or maybe the Tech Hire program helped you with challenges, you know, unrelated to your education and training that were really helpful in terms of your retention.
Yeah, actually, I would remember that every quarter in every class, an advisor would come in and say, hey, we're here to help you guys out with math, because that's really important in the field that I'm in, math. Hey, if anyone is down in math, you come to me, and it doesn't matter where you're at. We have, you know, all this help that we can give you. Or they'd have people in class that were just there to help. And that was awesome, because, you know, after the teacher was done giving out his presentation, you just run straight to them and they'd give you all the time you need to work things out. So yeah, that was definitely a big plus side, you know, that support from them, you know, having people to help you.
Is there anything, you know, you would recommend to other training providers outside of Tech Hire who are, you know, thinking about starting their own advanced manufacturing training program? You know, what would you recommend to them as they think about good student support for their participants?
Firstly, I'd say to 100% do it, because there was a lot of kids in the class that were like, oh, I'm so excited. You know, the workforce is open. It's ready for us. And a lot of kids these days are, man, they're bright. They're super smart. So getting in there and molding them, you know, when they're at this point in life, when they're super hungry, it's just a big benefit. Advice for people that are going to start this, I would say be open, like be open to creative solutions, especially in these times now. Because when I was in, you know, we had the ability to go and take apart a lathe, you know, or work with it, you know, do some milling and stuff like that. We had the ability to go in and to do these things. But with COVID, it's a lot more difficult. So definitely getting more creative about how you approach these things.
Chris, I'm wondering if we could go just a little bit deeper in thinking about student support and, you know, also thinking about how the Tech Hire program, like across the country, really strives to recruit and support younger individuals who are interested in accessing the industry. And I'm wondering if, you know, there's any like particular forms of support that are really pertinent to youth and younger individuals who are exploring Tech Hire programs or similar training programs. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, when it comes to, you know, getting kids on board, I think that the kids are already really on board. There was a pretty strong support for the program when I was in. All the students from super young to super old were really excited that this was a possibility. And something that I would say to the people that are trying to hold or start their own programs, I would say be very patient and try to implement as many creative ways to get the in-classroom work to the student when they're, you know, if they're in quarantine or if they're, you know, locked down or if they're inside their house. It's very difficult with COVID right now. But at least when I was in, we had the ability and opportunity to go and, you know, take things apart or go into the lab, go into the machining room, going into the welding booths and, you know, putting in the work. So the creativity is going to be needed 100% and a lot of support and patience.
Definitely. All right. Thank you. Krista, I will pass it over to you.
Perfect. So, Chris, I wanted to talk a little bit about just the role of technology in the workplace. We know that Tech Hire is an IT-focused training program, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier when you were talking about the cool VR welding technology. And I'd love to get your thoughts on just the overall rise of technology, especially now that we've all kind of switched to remote work. I'm curious about technology in your workplace and how it kind of shapes the work that you do.
Yeah, there was a lot of technology when I was in school, when I was doing all that, whether it was on the robotics table and using the pendants or jumping into the PLC programming, you know, hooking up with your computer. We had this neat little controller that we could connect to, and it'd have an Allen Bradley PLC that we would get to play with. It was almost a spot on transition into my job, at least, because I'd work in an automation field. A lot of the projects that I work on were using automation at a more advanced level. So instead of using Allen Bradley, I jumped into Siemens and so forth. I think it was a pretty good transfer. Like I felt pretty comfortable. Obviously, since I didn't understand the new system, I had to learn it, but I still felt like I wasn't completely dead in the water. I felt like I had got a pretty good grasp with it. But technology plays a huge part in my job and what I do. Like I always carry around a laptop. Like my kit is mostly just a laptop and a journal, because a lot of what can be done is, you know, you log into a program and look at some stuff and mess with some parameters to get it to work.
Are there specific ways that you feel like your Tech Hire program prepared you to succeed in your kind of new tech focused role?
I really like the approach that they took. It was a very crawl, walk, run type of approach. For the first couple of weeks, we'd go in and learn terminology and ideas. And then we would go into, like, you know, concepts, and then boom, they'd hand us what we would work on for those days. I definitely think it would have been a lot more beneficial if we had like a Siemens PLC and we were learning more about that, because going from one to another, it was similar, but they're still different enough that I think it would have warranted its own class.
So it sounds like, I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly, because, you know, I'm not from the mechatronics world, but it sounds like your Tech Hire program did a really good job of preparing you, but maybe some more specific training that's kind of aligned with what employers are using nowadays would have been. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, like all around, like I said, mechatronics is multidisciplined. So there is, but it's a very basic introduction to everyone while also refining a maintenance background. And it did a very good job with every one of those introductions. I would have loved personally to see there be a little more involvement with stuff that is used in industry. Like we used Allen Bradley, Siemens is what's used mostly. And like I've talked to other colleagues of mine, like that I went to school with, and they mentioned the same thing, like, oh, this would have been cool. But aside from that, like one little nitpick from me, it prepared me very well. Like I think during one of my internships, at the same time I was in class, I was learning about dial indicators and how to use them. And during my internship, my mentor, he told me, here, take this and go figure this out. But I already had that, you know, information from class. So I went right to it, and I even impressed him a little bit. So they did a pretty dang good job with it.
Nice. That's excellent. Chris, is there anything else that you'd like to share, or any other pieces of advice you have for training providers or for students that we haven't touched on yet?
I would say take a real good look at your industry. Like for us, Boeing is big here. So taking a look at, you know, what their needs are, and not just, you know, the major, but all the players around, like what their needs are, and taking a look at the equipment that is most common, and then transforming that into a classroom or a curriculum that could, so it's even more, you know, effective for students. I would say that there's plenty of resources online, not just, you know, in class, that you should definitely dive into. I know I didn't do the best in class, so I would put in extra work outside, and I would just dig around through multiple online sources to just try to find out answers. So don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, that's excellent advice.
Chris, I have one more question. Maybe going actually back to like when you wrapped up your tech hire training and you mentioned the internships that you were able to receive. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about your experience, you know, stepping into that workforce world and experiencing employers having gone through this tech hire credential program. What are your thoughts on, you know, employers and what they should be mindful of as they think about recruiting other tech hire participants? You know, are there things that you feel they should keep in mind, or maybe things that they aren't right now that they should be?
My first two internships were with Boeing, and my last one was with the company who hired me, which is MTORS America. Every time I went in for an internship, I was super nervous because, you know, like you said, it's a whole new world. Like you're no longer in the classroom. You're in the real world. You know, there's no more control problems. It's like, you know, something goes wrong, it goes wrong the real way. But I think Boeing did a really good job with keeping us shadowing a person, like a technician or a mechanic. And they would alternate when I was there. Certain interns had the opportunity to kind of do a little presentation and, you know, build up a PowerPoint of what they've learned throughout their time there and present it to the managers there. And then the managers, you know, they would give them critiques on, oh, what can you do better for public speaking? Or, oh, we really enjoyed this. Could you tell me more about it? And so then that's where the interns got their time to shine, because they get to prove to them how much they paid attention, how interested they are in the work, and how passionate they are for it. So I think that would be super cool, and, you know, have like a structure where there's certain goals to be met at specific weeks, and then have it all wrap up together. So then it can be presented to the employers at the end. So then they could, you know, gauge like, dang, this kid was really about it. He put his nose to the ground and he did not leave a single spot unchecked.
Awesome. That is a perfect answer. Chris, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us related to tech hire, or, you know, even just your experience in general before we go?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say that it's going to sound a little corny, but tech hire really did change my life. If it wasn't for all of the opportunities I've had and all the support that I had with all the instructors, and not just them, but the employers too, who gave us the ability to come into their workplace and, you know, shadow people, I wouldn't be where I am today. Like it really had a fundamental impact in my life, and not just in my professional life, my personal one as well, because I've just been more driven to do things, to study more material, to really put the work in, to take it back. And I've even had opportunities to travel to different states. As you know, I was in California for some work. So I've got to see some really, really neat things for someone my age. It's been a very incredible opportunity to be a part of Tech Hire.
Awesome, Chris. Well, I'm sure I can say that your program was very lucky to have you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris, for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Hire Participant Voices podcast series. Please be sure to check out our other podcast episodes found on Workforce GPS. For more information on the Tech Hire Partnership Grant, please visit www.doleta.gov.